Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
All right, well, isn't God good? He's moving in this city and we love our city and we'll continue to pray and continue to reach out in so many different ways and so many different people and people groups. We're going to launch a series today right now called Casket Empty, Your Path to Victory. I'll explain that momentarily. But in essence, we're going to walk through the Bible in 1 year. We're going to walk through all of the Bible in a year. It'll be a macro view, a big view, the grand narrative. The hope is that this will, and I believe with all of my heart, this will have a lasting impact on all of our lives. I was very fortunate to have been given a Bible when I was 18 years old. I did not grow up in church. I'm like our sister who, I have a different background, a religious background. And so when I when I met the Lord, the first thing is I met the Lord through reading scripture, reading the Bible. Someone had given me a Bible. And so that habit of reading the Bible continued on to be basically a part of my life every day since then, many years ago, about 40 years ago. And so so I believe that this is going to have an impact upon your life, just reading the Bible. That, if that's all we did, there's a promise in Scripture in Revelation chapter 1, blessed are those who read these words. There's a promise of blessing just in reading the Bible. That's not very hard, is it? It's just read it and you get blessed. And you may not even feel it or sense it, or you may not even understand it, but there's a promise associated with that. Not only will this have an impact, but also I believe your view of the Bible and your relationship with the Bible will radically change this year. I believe that's going to happen. Also, you're going to grow in your knowledge and understanding of the Bible. And then you're going to grow in your walk with the author of the Bible, the author of Scripture. The Holy Spirit inspired 40 different authors and gave them the words to pen and codify the Christian faith. It doesn't tell us everything about God, but it tells us all we need to know about God for salvation. There's plenty in there to read and to be inspired to walk with God and to get to know God and to walk with Him in a way that pleases Him. And so for all of us, I know that originally when we think about the Bible, we are thinking about it in probably a false light. There's a false narrative in mind. Let me give you an example. For me, I thought that the Bible, if I were to ever read it, it would be a morality straitjacket, like they put prisoners in it, just a confining jacket where they can't run, they can't get away, that it would just confine them. That was my impression, that the Bible was a book of rules and regulations. Don't, as I used to say in the old days, don't smoke, drink, or chew tobacco, that is, or date any women who do. That was sort of what I thought would be the outcome of that. It's like, wow, this is going to be a big dud. So I thought it was a book of rules. And then on the other side, there are those who look at it as just a book of self-empowerment and inspiration. And yes, there are rules in the Bible, and although Jesus just reduced them to two rules and really just one, that is love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. You do that, and you'll fulfill all of the other laws. And so, yes, there are rules, and yes, it's inspiration, and yes, it is empowering. Yes, it's both of those. However, the big thing that we need to keep in mind is ultimately the Bible has a singular point. It was written as a self-revelation and self-disclosure of the living God, your Father, our Father. It's written to disclose who He is so that we can know God and the truth will set us free. So that's the singular point. It's a great story. And as we look at it, there's 66 books. I bought a brand new Bible. My other Bible has fallen apart. This is the one that I've loved. It looks huge, doesn't it? It's also, you know, it's also like a shield of, you know, in case somebody is coming after me, you know, I can beat them up with this. But it has 66 books in it. And this is a one with all the tools in it, Greek study words and Hebrew study words and all of that. But the point is that it's 66 books, which makes it a mini library, and it's compiled into one. It's 31,102 verses. Don't worry, you don't have to memorize them all this year. What if he just memorized 102 verses this year? That would be a plus. There are 40 authors spanning 1,500 years, and they had no collaboration whatsoever, yet they all agree. So that's pretty amazing. There was no internet back then. There are 31 guys named Zechariah in the Bible. So that's a great name. If he's like wondering, like, what do I name my boy that's going to be born? Zechariah is a very biblical name. There's a grand meta-narrative that tells us the story of God and reveals Jesus at every turn. So that's what you get in the Bible. You get a revelation and an understanding of God, the true God, the living God, the one and only God. And I'm going to give you three brief points here because what we just heard was an incredible message in and of itself. I was ready to go home and go to post-Easter lunch after hearing that. That was amazing. Thank you again for bringing your heart and your faith into this house. We're privileged, aren't we? Privileged, very privileged to hear that incredible story. And that's just a small part of it, because I sat there mesmerized for about 2 hours, I think, the first night. And so, anyway, the first point is this, three brief points. I want to call this the big invitation, because I'm really inviting you. I can't make anybody, you're not going to get a daily text from me about the verse of the day or whatever. This is not what we do, but it's an invitation to come journey with us through the scripture. One of my big reasons for doing this, one of my big reasons, is you ready for this? I've been a Christian pastor for about 38 years. I started, probably when I was 23 years old, I think is when I started. So not 38 years, 35 years, 36 years. And I've always wanted to spend a serious amount of time walking a congregation through the Bible. Always wanted to do that. So when Pastor Adam, Pastor Nathan, and the team, they were like, let's do this. I was like, okay, I've always wanted to do this. And now the time has come. And I don't feel prepared for this. But I know that we're all going to have to work for this. We're all going to have to study. But I know also I have to have realistic expectations here, the realistic hope, the realistic desire is that we're going to grow together. We're going to know God. We're going to grow together. We're going to live on purpose, and we're going to have an impact, because that's all the Bible does. The outcome of the Bible in our lives is that we're going to love people. We're going to show love to people. We're going to show up. We're going to live holy. We're going to live a life that's set apart. Don't let that word scare you. It doesn't mean you have to put on a burlap sack and have a gigantic cross that you're carrying around the city. You don't have to. Maybe that's your call, and that's great, but it's not my call. But I think the point is that you're going to live a life that's of distinction. You're going to live holy, because if you don't live holy, you're disqualified. So you're going to live holy. You're going to love other people. And the third thing, you ready for this one? You're going to show up. You're showing up with God. Here I am, God. I've got 5 minutes today and a cup of coffee, and I want to meet with you. If that's your beginning point, don't feel condemned. That's great. That's a great beginning point. Now, if you've been hanging out with Jesus for 3.5 years, he may tell you what he told his disciples. And he says, why can't you even tarry for 1 hour without taking a nap? How many of you have ever fallen asleep on God in your time with God before? How many times have I fallen asleep on God? But every time I think, you know what? I'd rather be with God falling asleep on God than instead of watching a porn movie and then falling asleep. Come on. I can't even get an amen out of that. I mean, that's pretty good right there. I've never said that before. And no sweat, honey. I don't do that. That's not what, I'm a very happily married man. I consider that wrong, okay? That's a good law right there. All right, so anyway, got sidetracked here. But point number one is to know and join the story. We need to know the book. This is the book. Christians are known worldwide, globally. Western civilization knows us as people of the book. We're people of the book. This is some mystical, weird, once upon a time, a nice snowy day. I mean, this is real life. We're people of the book. We're those who read. We're those who write. We're those who record. We're those who meditate, but we're those who meditate upon the word. So God invites us to know this book, and it says in Acts 17:11. That the Bereans were more noble-minded than the Thessalonians, a small town, more noble-minded than the popular one, because it says they search the scriptures daily to see if these are realities or not. They became people of the Bible, people who searched it out, people who wanted to know the word. And it's interesting that today there's a basic need in our world today, because 82% of all people surveyed in America when it came to understanding the Bible, 82% believe that the Bible says this, that this is a verse: God helps those who help themselves. That is not in the Bible anywhere. Actually, it'd be more like this in the Bible: God helps those who can't help themselves. And I'm so thankful. And so you think about William Shakespeare, you think about his writings, more than 1,200, some people say more than 2,000, I'll be conservative here, more than 1,200 references to Scripture just through his plays, his written books and his plays. It's incredible when you look at so many of the classics, like Moby Dick and others talk about biblical characters, and so much of art in our civilization references the Lord's Supper or references paintings with Scripture. The Prodigal Son is a famous Rembrandt and others. And you just begin to walk through this. The word, very word, compassion was never even existed until Jesus used the word compassion. And we could go on and on about this. I don't need to tell you all the funny lines, like 12% of people believe that Joan of Arc was actually Noah's wife. So it does get comical. But this is the first part of this, is to know the story, to know this big story. Here's another final one, then I'll move on. But the most quoted motto of universities is this one out of John 8, verse 32. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's John 8, 32. By the way, the universities that quote this as their motto may not tell you this. Jesus said it first. Jesus said that first. They weren't talking about their philosophy classes here. It was also, this is the motto of the CIA. And so it's an incredible motto for whoever's using it, because they're quoting Jesus. So we have this invitation that's outstanding, and we are invited to come and journey and get to know this book better. And at the end of this year, you know, my faith is that wherever you are in your journey with God, that you're going to be further and closer to God and further down the road in your understanding of God and His kingdom than you've ever been in your life, if you'll take this journey with us and simply get on one of the reading plans. You'll hear more about that. Our social media will communicate different ways to get involved. We have one group that's going to be 150 people in a YouVersion track reading through the Bible chronologically, because that's what Casket Empty does. My second point in this invitation is you're going to just be invited to discover anew your part in the story. Your part in the story. I know that three major things have happened to me through reading Scripture. Number one, I just shared it, that I encountered Jesus in Scripture and experienced salvation in my life and in my soul. I became a new creation in Christ, a new person. That actually happened to me through reading Scripture, not through going to church. Just through reading Scripture. Secondly, is I discovered my purpose in life through reading Scripture. It was as if I was led and drawn to certain passages of Scripture where God said, no, you're not going to go to graduate school in psychology and be a counselor. You're going to go into full-time ministry, and you're going to preach the gospel, and it will not be with the traditionally established church with a paycheck. You're going to walk by faith and follow me. So those are little keys and clues of who I was and what God was calling me to do. And it just becomes then your faith journey. But the third thing is just through endurance. The Bible has helped me to endure through every trial that I've ever faced. The Bible has been nothing but a blessing in my life. And I'm very thankful for a God who not only lets me read His Bible, but also engage with Him about His Bible, which means a lot of times, like, questions like, God, you did what? You mean you're going to kill somebody because they lied in Acts chapter 5? Or maybe not kill them, but allow them to die? And you can ask questions. And what's rich in Scripture is that Scripture, and so many times, there are times when someone in Scripture would ask God a question and they would be rebuked, but most of the time they would be invited into the conversation. And that's what's one of the amazing things, that our God is not a smash you dead kind of God. Have you ever played those games with the pop-up? You got the hammer and you know, it's like there's not someone over us who pops up with any question about Scripture, anything about God, and you're not going to have this hammer bop you down. Don't ask that. You're just here to submit. You're just here to do what I tell you to do. That's not the God we serve. He's an inviting, loving, engaging, embracing, and dialoguing God. We are, as we engage Scripture, we're building an altar. And there are many people in Scripture who says they're building their altars. These, many of them existed before there was a Scripture. Is they were building their altar to get to know God. And that's kind of what we're doing. There's 400 references to those who built their altars. And there are, in of interest, there are no shortcuts to building a relationship with God. There's not a shortcut. There are many of us that we would love for a let's call him a prophet, someone who has insight, deep insight, and instant knowledge about our life. We meet with some of these people, have these gifts. It's quite revealing. It's great. But the shortcut is not, hey, I want an appointment with the next prophetic, great prophetic voice, and I want to sit down and record and let them kind of give me a script for my life. If that happens, that's unusual. Most of the time, it's one stone after another where you're simply building your relationship with God through trials, through errors, through mistakes, through failures. I call my failures failing forward. I mean, I'm going, as long as I'm going in the right direction, I'm going to make a lot of mistakes. I'm going to forget some family member's birthday. I may forget an anniversary, but I have all kinds of notifications that pop up and remind me never to do that. I may not regard you the best way. We're going to make mistakes. But when we're building that altar, God looks at this as a long-term relationship. And I'm so thankful that He does, that this is long-term. And what we're embarking upon is a long-term slow. We're not looking for instant growth. We're not looking for miracle growth. We're not looking for a weed kill spray that's also toxic. We just want to walk with God and build our altar with Him. Another way to put it is like putting oil in our flask. In Matthew 25, it talks about, we're not going to read it, but it talks about the 10 virgins, 5 are wise and 5 are foolish. And the reason the 5 are wise is they brought extra oil with them to meet the bridegroom. They went out to meet, and they had the extra, in the midnight hour, they had extra oil. And when the 5 foolish ones ran out, they were trying to get their oil from those who had the extra oil. And here's the thing, you can't always draft on somebody else's faith. You can't. You can for a little while. And I believe that there's a special covering that God gives parents over kids, especially teenagers. Like, Lord, please, I don't know where they are tonight, but send an angel. I mean, that child is drafting off of your faith, and thank God He gives you authority to pray for your kids that they can get well, they can recover, and they can come home. He does. He gives you special authority. But there comes a time where you can't always draft on somebody else's faith. It needs to be your oil in your flask for your lamp. And that's who we are. We're those who are building this thing. We're building our relationship with God. There's a man named Delane McCullough, who's an NFL running back coach with the Kansas City Chiefs. And he has an amazing E60 story. It's absolutely phenomenal because he was an adopted kid at a very young age, I think like 6 or 8 weeks, and he was picked up by someone. He was adopted, and when he got old and he got married, he played a little bit of pro football, had an injury, then he became a running back coach, and they picked him up first in college at USC, and then he went to Seattle, then the Chiefs. Where he is now, I believe. And of interest in this E60 story, he basically says that when I had my 4th child and I started looking at them, he said, and they were asking questions about my background, he said, I didn't know who I was, where I came from. Legislation was changing in Pennsylvania, and he had full access to get a birth certificate. He did, and he saw his mother's name on the birth certificate. He Googled her on Facebook, found her, and I shouldn't have said it that way. Googled her on Facebook. Okay, so anyway, that was a social media thing. I don't know if he Googled her first or Facebooked her first. Isn't this just crazy that we can do that? Anyway, so he found his biological mom. He found her and struck up a relationship. They actually met together, And it was an incredible moment. And she had never remarried. That was her only child that she had. And it just wasn't God's will in that time. But she was 16 years old. And they tell the story. And remarkably then, he starts asking more questions. He said, well, I didn't see my dad's name on this birth certificate. She said, well, I didn't tell anyone about this. I went to a different state. I went over to Pennsylvania, had you there. That was the end of the story. You were adopted. That was it. So here he is, 45 years old, and then he finds out his dad's name. He found out his dad's name was Sherman Smith. And he said, Sherman Smith? Yes, that's your dad's name. And he was stunned. Sherman Smith was his 28-year mentor and coach, and neither the father, the biological dad, or the son had a clue of their connection. I know, you're just going to forget the whole message now, and you're going to go home and watch E60. I mean, don't let me lose you right now. Because here's the quote that he made. Pull up the quote. There he is with his biological parents. And this, by the way, is a good Christian, godly man. Here's the quote that he said. He said, now I know. There's a longer version of this, but he's basically saying, now I know who I am. I got all the pieces to the story. And when you are engaging Scripture on a daily basis, God is downloading you all the pieces of the story that you can live an incredible, amazing, overcoming, victorious Christian life. And that's why we called this Casket Empty, Your Path to Victory. That's what it is. Because the Word of God is giving you the pieces that you need to discover your part of the story. This is your part. This is just a little bit. It's because when you know Scripture, you're going to be secure. More secure than you could have been outside of. You're going to know, have a fresh new identity of yourself. Like DeLand McCullough, he received that fresh identity. And here's my third and final point. And that is the invitation is not just these three points right here. Not just to know and join the story. Not just to know. Also being to discover anew your part in the story, but also to trust the Lord in every part of the story. Because some of you are in a part of the story right now you're not very happy with. Others of you are, you're living the big life and everything is going your way. And some of you are in the valley and you're wondering like, hey, but here's the meta-narrative of the Bible. When we talk about casket empty, this is basically, we're just looking at an overview of Scripture. In these letters, casket empty, creation, Abraham, Sinai, exile. I don't know if we have that, but exile. Sinai, kings, exile, temple. That's the overview of the entire Tanakh or the Old Testament. Then you get into the New Testament, empty, E for expectation, M for Messiah, P for Pentecost, T for teachings, and Y for yet to be or yet to come. It's the end times and what's to come in the future. So we're going to look at this and wherever we are, because in God's grand narrative, it's a beautiful, multifaceted story of God and revelation of his son Jesus that ends with a banquet. It ends with a feast. And this is where your future is not as dismal as the media would be telling you. Because regardless of what happens to this world, when you're part of God's family, has a more special ending than can be imagined. It ends with a feast. Anybody like food? Anybody, any foodies here? This is ending with the marriage supper of the Lamb, and your name will be written in the book of life, and you will have access to a new heaven and a new earth and a new body. Thank God for my new body. I'm definitely going to have some new vertical leap advantages over this body. But the point is that there is something to look forward to as we trust God to bring us through whatever season and whatever challenge of life that we're facing. As we're going to get into Genesis beginning next Sunday, that's Genesis is a Greek word for beginnings. As we get into the beginning, we're going to see that God made everything perfectly, and then something happened that caused the original couple, the original family, to drift away from God. And Steinbeck wrote about it, East of Eden, when they left the garden. Again, the connection of literature with the Bible and biblical references. But it says in Genesis 3:1 that there was this snake in the garden. And the snake came and he said, the snake had this encounter with the woman. As I opened my brand new Bible that's never been opened before. Okay, so some people say the Bible's so holy I wouldn't dare read it or touch it. That's not what it's for. It says, now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field than the Lord that the Lord God had made. And he said, the serpent said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? Did God actually say? You see, what we see here is the first ever recorded attack against Scripture or God's Word in history. Where the serpent said, has God said? It wasn't like, this was not the intellectual curiosity question. It was an accusation. And the Bible, the Word of God, has been under attack now since the beginning. The devil himself in this serpent, whether the serpent was the devil or the devil got into the serpent, we don't know. But we and our little children, we call it the sneaky snake. Lies are from the sneaky snake because he is the father of lies. And that's why when we says that we trust the Lord in every part of the story, we don't do this alone. We don't do this walk through the Bible. It'd be great if you had a Bible buddy that you're reading 10 minutes a day. If you read 10 to 12 minutes a day, 365 days from now, you will have read through the entire Bible. And that should really be, I hate to use the word should, but that should be on your bucket list. Come on, that's a lot better than losing your money in Vegas or ending up with a tattoo where it doesn't belong in Vegas. All right, so anyway, this is life right here. All right, do it together. Do it together. I'm going to close with this, as we're going to come to the Lord's table. But I just want you to know that God's going to always be with you. He's going to be with you. Whether you do this or not, God loves you and he's with you regardless. But it's a relationship. I live in a push-pull world. I will pursue people, but after about the fourth call, if they don't call me back or say, let me know what's going on, I'm like, okay, it's over. You know, it's you can still have love in your heart, but if it's not mutual, you know, if you're in a dating relationship and they don't call you back after the fifth time and fifth, it's over. There was a movie. He's really not that into you. Yes, okay, I get it now. Or she's really not that into you. I say this because in life, really at the end of the day, yes, we do this in community, but really in your life and in your time, you have to ask, am I building with God? Am I walking with God? Am I giving God anything to work with? It's so easy to complain to God, you know? He gets that all the time. But here's why Thanksgiving is often called a sacrifice. Because there are many times I start my day and I don't want to say thank you. I want to give the complaint. But man, when my heart goes to Thanksgiving, it's like God is taking care of my battles. This is how I fight my battles. No, I'm not a singer. No, I'm not. We give him thanks. Paul said these words in 2 Timothy 4, verse 17 and 18. Powerful end of his life. This is like one of the final things Paul said before he was martyred. He was beheaded in Rome. It says, but the Lord stood by me. When he started listing all the people who he thought, all the Judases of his life who left him and failed him. And he said, but the Lord stood by me and strengthened me so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles may hear it. And so I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me. You got to know God to be able to say this. I'm just grateful that I can say this now, and I know it's true. I'm older than you. I've been walking with God, not perfectly. Oh, man. So many better Christians than me, and so many people who have their act together who I look up to and admire. And, you know, but actually, if you live with someone for a month, you'll really find out that they're like you. Messed up, but pursuing. Weary, but pursuing. Here's what he said. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. You know who can say that? Is someone who knows the Bible and has been putting it in their hearts and in their minds. Lord, we just thank you as we come to your table today, Lord, as we come to the table of the Lord. We're just grateful, God, that you love us. You're not letting us go. You're with us. And Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do and what you're going to break open as we approach your word with reverence and, Lord, with respect and also yet with curiosity and with questions and many times with doubting, Lord. Yet, God, you take us where we are. We're so thankful. We're so grateful. You love us anyway. And thank you, God, that you're going to be with us like you were with Paul. And you are more than able to rescue us and to keep us from our feet from stumbling. Jesus, come into our lives today and be the Lord of our lives. Amen.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.